The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You're listening to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, the show that proves no one stumbles upon success ever. With your host, Lou Mead. Every Mondays and Thursdays, we deliver cold hard evidence behind the power of a robust morning routine. Get ready to be transformed by the renewal of your mind.
Hello, morning enthusiasts. Welcome to the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast. I am your host, Lou Need, and today I have a very special guest to the show. But first, let me ask you, do you need to find the quickest, cheapest way to get the answers and advice you need? Find the freedom to work on your next great idea and growth strategy? Well, my friends, so do I. That is why I had to bring the next guest to show us the tools necessary to level up. Morning enthusiasts, I want to welcome again an amazing guest, Ronan Leonard. Ronan is the founder of Accountability, a platform designed to pair you with a mastermind group. Now, you have heard me talk about the importance of minding who is in your circle, because if the people in your circle don't inspire you, then you are in a cage. I had a whole episode about it. Well, Ronan, as an expert, is going to delve into this with us today. Ronan, welcome to the show.
Aluni, thank you for that great introduction. I'm really looking forward to this.
Yes, absolutely. Today, I would love to talk about the importance of mastermind group and how it refers to being transformed by the renewal of your mind, how you people can feed off each other's great experts and ideas. And we can talk about how to get into a mastermind and, of course, your morning routine at the end.
Sure, absolutely. Well, first off, when we're talking about sort of changing your mind or everything, what we kind of know in business, what happens now that didn't happen 20 years ago, is that we are flooded by content, right? It's everywhere. Right. So we are constantly scrolling through our phones. We're listening to podcast blogs, all those kinds of things. So content has been commoditized. Now it's free. Everyone's giving away all their stuff for free. So there's a great quote by a guy called Derek Sivers that says, if more information was the answer, then we'd all be billionaires with perfect abs, right? Mm-hmm. It's not about more content. It's about getting context around that. And what a mastermind group does, allows you, there's so many benefits to it. It allows you to get some context around some content. Like, I didn't quite understand this bit. It allows you to tap into other people's knowledge, expertise, experience. It allows to get you some different thinking, some blue sky thinking, or, wow, I didn't think that was possible. When you surround yourself with the right kind of people, and you talked about that cage, it's a great analogy. When you're in a room, and a virtual room even, of different people who are hungry, who are driven, who have what you want, who've got the right kind of mindset, all these magic things happen, and you end up expanding your consciousness, and you end up thinking bigger than you ever would on your own. So they're just some of the benefits of being in a mastermind, or if you're an expert, subject matter expert, running your own mastermind.
Yes, yes. And I agree with you. The benefits are endless to what you can accomplish, because what will take you 3 years, you can learn from somebody within 5 minutes. Only because you had that common ground, that shared goal.
Yes, exactly. And the ability to get those different answers you hadn't thought of before, the ability to support each other. And there are all of these things that sound almost kind of woo-woo, and we all kind of know it, but very few people are willing to be vulnerable enough to say, look, I haven't got it all figured out. I'm tired of just reading stuff on the internet and not knowing if it's right for me. I'm lacking the support and some structure. And the other thing about two hidden benefits about mastermind is, one, the accountability. is the fact that when you're working on something and you commit within a room of people, say, look, I'm going to work on this week, or I'm going to get this done, you'll get it done because you've got those accountability partners. And secondly, the relationships that happen, like business, we talk about it all the time, right? Everyone says, oh yeah, it's know, like, and trust, and it's the people you know that really have those benefits. You imagine in a room of eight other people that are all, as I said, hungry and driven, and you find out that they can help you. They can help you find a great copywriter, or they can introduce you to someone else that's got a network of something you want. Business is all about relationships. So building those relationships is a huge hidden benefit of being in a mastermind or running a mastermind.
Yeah, you get a lot of synergy too, because I remember Napoleon Hill talks about masterminds, and he says that when two or three minds come together, a third one is forced to be created.
Yeah, the supermind, yeah.
That supermind, right? You get new perspective. It's also a biblical term too, where two or three are gathered. There's the force there. There's a power there that can help you accomplish your goal. And I love that you talked about accountability, because that's what your platform is called, Ecountability. Tell us a little bit about that and what you do.
Well, what happens in life is that the reason I named it Ecountability is that accountability is kind of one of the things we're lacking. We're not lacking skill, we're lacking the will. So 92% of people who buy a course never complete it and implement it, which is a terrible statistic, right? Absolutely terrible. So how do we get better at leveling up, getting more skill? And it is around that, the idea of accountability, that when we support each other and we've got that common ground and we're in this together and we get that buy-in, all the things that you want to achieve, far more likely to happen, and your improvements go through the roof. So small business is incredibly isolating. It's really hard work. Anyone who tells you that is lying. Someone says, oh yeah, it's easy, you know, 7 easy steps, the 3 secret formulas, blah, blah, blah. If business was so easy, how come 80% of people fail? And how come with all this information, we're failing at a faster rate than ever before? So clearly it's not information. It's the context behind that information. It's the accountability to work on the right things and just not get distracted by the shiny objects. And it's the commitment. It's the will, not the skill of saying, actually, this stuff is really boring, but I've got to do it because that's what will get me the most results, instead of looking for the shiny object. What's the latest funnel I can do? Can I just run Facebook ads? That's the easy stuff. Whatever the easiest thing most people are chasing. And the reason I know this is I've done it myself. I've looked for all those hacks and I've done that, only to find out that actually most of them don't work. There's no such thing as overnight success. So yeah, I teach this within a framework, is to always look for more leverage, always look for how you can help other people, always look to grow your network, always look to work on those relationships and how you can mutually support each other, because that's what successful business owners do. It's not necessarily about their product or the great idea they've got. It's their ability to get things done, to start fewer things and finish more things, and to get that help and support they need for all the blind spots and the things they haven't seen.
Yeah, it's a great way to level up and tap into the experiences and skills of other people. For a lot of entrepreneurs, they, like you said, we are siloed. We put our heads down, we're in the grind, and we're trying to figure it all out by ourselves. But if we learn to reach out and be supportive and have a group to be a part of, to actually be able to learn new things, the road is a lot easier. The path is a lot easier that way.
Yeah, 100%. Because we all have things that we don't know. We've all got goals, aspirations, things we want to do. And I actually say that we're in the not knowing economy now, not the knowing economy. There's so much stuff we don't know. And the only way you can do that is to let go of your ego. Say, look, I haven't got it all figured out. I like being surrounded by people. We're hardwired to live in communities and tribes. So this idea of the lonely entrepreneur in their basement working away, as you said, grinding away, is athenaeum to what we are hardwired to do. So the more we can find are those little micro communities of people that get us, that champion us, that kick our butt, that do all those things and support us, that help us get those goals. And as you said, level up. There's just no greater way of saying it.
Yeah, with tribes, and I maybe some people don't know what that is. Is that the community, the small intimate communities that you build around you?
Yeah, the people that, as I said, that either kick your butt and say, actually, you could be doing better, gives you the hard facts, that support you, that go, you know, what you're doing is amazing, that, you know, what do you need help with? Those people that support you, that support network is incredibly vital. And every single successful entrepreneur I know has had help along the way. They haven't all figured out. So they've had coaches, they've had mentors, they've been in mastermind groups, they've paid for education, they've continually invested in themselves. And like I said, you can't figure it all out yourself, and you can't figure it all out from reading a blog.
Yeah, because success leaves clues, and those who have come before you figured it out, had found a way. So it's good to learn from them.
Yeah, it's a huge shortcut. You can say, okay, well, you can stumble around the dark for 6 months while you try and figure out the best thing, or often just having one conversation with somebody else gives you that boom, aha moment. I never thought of that. That's amazing. And in fact, that just happened to me on another podcast today. I had a conversation with an incredibly successful business coach. He's got over 100 clients. He's living the dream, and he's actualizing the dream of what most business coaches say. So we'll build a business with that runs without you. And he's done that, and he's going away to travel for a year. And yeah, he gave me an insight that I hadn't seen before, just in the conversation we had 5 minutes after the show, because we know, like, and trust each other now. It's the second time I've been on his show, and he's been to a mastermind dinner of mine. So yeah, that ability to find those other people that know what you don't know is incredibly powerful.
Absolutely. And it's good to get around people that are like-minded, because as you start growing, your circle is going to change. I find that when I started the entrepreneurial path and starting my podcast, that the people I used to hang out with, they're not the same anymore, because now I'm learning. Because they say that if you're the smartest person in the room, leave.
You need to
find a different room. And so it's crucial to get around people that you can bounce ideas off. You're able to get feedback that, hey, this like you said, this sucks. This is not working. You could do better. And here's the ways you could do better, with this constructive feedback too that comes with it. It's not just criticism.
Yeah, exactly. And your business and your entrepreneur cycle is a journey. So you are so right. I used to talk about this idea that everyone thinks that, hey, if I had Gary Vee or I had Russell Brunson or even Richard Branson in my mastermind, I'd learn so much. Well, no, you wouldn't, because there's no value exchange. You want people that are probably just one or two steps ahead of you, that right. Where you were 3-5 years ago, because they've been there recently. You can help them in their journey somehow. They can help you, and that transfer of value is still relevant. If you're, you know, first year in business and you're trying to pick Richard Branson's brains, you know, he runs a multi-billion-dollar company. He might give you basic information about, you know, follow your passion, blah, blah, blah. But he's not going to give you practical advice. Well, actually, you know, you should be doing this, you should be doing that, because he's not a hands-on person. So the value exchange needs to be reasonably level, and you need to level up, as you said. I call it spiraling up, where you constantly connect to more people, smarter people. You change your network as you evolve and as you grow and as you get more confidence and more results. But don't try and think that you can immediately leap to that one, because it just doesn't happen. You've got to build your equity, and I call it your symbolic capital. You've got to build up that trust and that network of people.
Yeah, because Richard Branson's problems are bigger. his wins are also bigger too. His victories are also bigger. You know, I like what you said about the value exchange. It has to be equal. So that's I'm thinking that's one criteria to finding a mastermind, is to ensure that your group members are not too far off from your level.
Yeah, you've got to find your fit. And it's just like hiring a coach. It's just like hiring a mentor. It's just like hiring even somebody that might do your marketing. You won't necessarily always get it right first time, because what you know, the marketing you read, or you're not a good fit for whatever that reason is. But don't let that discourage you from the fact that there are people out there that are on your same wavelength. And in fact, you know, Seth Godin talked about Tribe almost a decade ago, and the book is still more relevant than ever before. As we live in this huge bombardment of information, your ability to connect with people that are similar to you, that kind of get you, that have that small tribe, is incredibly important. And for most people, it's the difference between success and failure. Highly recommend to anybody, even if you can't find a mastermind group, start your own. Start your own small little group of people that maybe you're in the same niche together. And so this is the thing with competitors. Most people think, well, everybody in my niche is a competitor. Well, if you're collaborating and working together, then you're creating this mini cohort. You're creating this idea exchange. You're opening yourself up to all kinds of other possibilities instead of thinking that everybody else is your competitor.
And if you're adding value, that you won't see any competitor. The only competition is within you, because everyone's adding value. You want more people to help as many people as possible, especially if the problem you're solving is very dear to your heart.
Exactly. And you nailed it on the head there, Lini. I used to run an events-based business, which I started and scaled and sold. And at that time, this is 6-7 years ago, I had all these competitors and I saw them as my competitors. So I had quite a fixed mindset. And now what I say to everybody I meet is that my only competition is the previous version of myself. Anybody else is in masterminds, they're not my competitors. I don't care what they're doing. I might keep an eye on them. I might see what the industry trends are. I might see, some ideas where it's evolving. But I've reached out to people that would be deemed as my competitors and say, is there a way we can collaborate together? Is there a way that we can help each other? Because you really are only competing against yourself.
And don't get in your own way. Get out of your way.
Exactly.
So, Ronan, clarify for us the three simple steps or the process to joining a mastermind for those who don't know.
The first one is know what you want to achieve. There are two types of masterminds. Sometimes it's you can learn a specific skill in a certain amount of time, and other times it's okay that I really want to be able to reach my goals. So you want to find potentially a business mastermind that is around goal setting, accountability, that people are reasonable at a level to you, and start to find out, maybe you go for free the first time. You can sign up for some of these on a monthly basis and just start to look at, okay, well, what are the type of group of people in there? Traditionally, what are the people doing in there? I don't ever focus anymore on end results. So I look at most marketing where people say, oh yeah, this guy made another 200 grand working in my mastermind. Well, what about the other 99 that didn't make that? To me, a lot of that marketing is misleading. So if you're asking the questions, what type of person is in there? How long do they stay? What kind of support do you give? What are the people in here looking to achieve? So ask better questions rather than just, oh yes, one person made 200 grand in 3 months. Hey, I can do that too. Where do I sign up and drop my $5,000? So just be a bit more skeptical about the type of marketing and ask as many questions as you need to know to satisfy that you're potentially joining the right group of people.
Mm-hmm. So know what you want to achieve.
Yeah.
I missed the other two.
So clarity around what you want to achieve. Ask better questions and just evaluate the real proposition. Ignore the hype to it, so they ensure that you are making an informed decision, not an emotional one.
Okay. Now, do you run your own mastermind or do you help people? Does your platform help people get into masterminds?
I predominantly help people to run their own mastermind. So I teach them all the fundamentals, how to structure it, how to package it, how to price it, how to ensure that it's the most valuable asset they have, and to ensure they do that. I do run the odd mastermind on the side for the right group of people, but mine are specifically shorter. I've run them for a year or two. The other thing is you want to be sort of quite cognizant of the type of person you are. So if you're not somebody that says, look, I'm going to work with the same people for a year or 2 years and I'm happy with that, then a long-term mastermind isn't a great fit for you. So you want to look at the shorter ones. So again, if you're joining one, maybe you've got a BHAG or a short goal that you want to learn something short amount of time, and therefore you're going to commit to a mastermind for a certain amount of time. So it's about knowing yourself and picking the right vehicle for you. And again, that's something that I teach.
Are these masterminds live, or individuals are doing them online, via Skype, remotely?
So I'm a proponent of running them online for several reasons. First of all, there's no travel time. There's no setup costs. You've got a global market. You've got the ability to run them more frequently. And you've got the ability to give people that extended period of time, if it's quite complex, to see the results, because you're not going to get a result overnight. Go join a mastermind and go, yeah, I'm looking to implement this, this, and this. And then 2 weeks later, it's done. It's a process, that accountability. So that's why I'm in for that one. The in-person masterminds is, there's travel time, there's setup. Sometimes people got to fly in. So they're there for a lot of people. Just it's a bigger commitment to people to do that. And the other key thing about masterminds is that, to be honest, most of the times if you go away and you do a 2-day workshop, the value isn't necessarily in what you learned. The value is in the implementation. It's the follow-up to ensure that you actually implement that information, because learning doesn't happen until something changes. So to me, the mastermind is more about that ongoing. It could still be fixed, but an ongoing one to ensure that the learning has gone deeper, it's understood, and it's actioned, because that's where the rubber hits the road.
And it goes a bit longer than the 2-day mark. I agree with you that implementation needs to take place, because people will forget the information learned, and they'll go home and not implement anything because they don't have a follow-up. They don't have accountability.
Yes, exactly. And the other thing is that I'm seeing people call masterminds where it's just an educational session. True mastermind is even the person that runs it. It might be the subject matter expert, and I teach people how to package that up, but that's only part of it. They need to be willing to engage their participants to ensure that the ideas flow and that there's real support. So what I always say is, I don't care where the best idea comes from in that mastermind. It doesn't have to come from me. And I've run masterminds where I'm asking somebody a question about something and they're giving an answer, and I can see other people even online furiously writing down that because it applies to them. So there are universal problems that we have. There are amazing ideas that come out of these masterminds, and they come out from in all different ways and from different people. It's not just, hey, come on this mastermind and I'll tell you everything I know and you sit there and you listen. It's that engagement. It's that, okay, well, what do you think about that? Have you got a better idea? What's your opinion? And it's harnessing, as you said at the very start, Napoleon Hill, is when these two or three minds come together, they create this third mind, this mastermind. But they're coming together. They're not just sitting there and passively listening to more information. That's not a mastermind.
No, because then now you have buy-in because they're engaged.
Yes, yeah.
They're alert. What's the frequency on running these?
What if it's common business problems, it can be almost every week. If it's a bit more technical, it can be once every 2 weeks, fortnight, or even once a month. That if you're working towards like a year-long one, you can say by the end of this year, you'll have learned this. And then that's that ability to go away. This is what we discussed. This is your action plan for the 2 weeks, the 4 weeks. And then when you come back, you go, how did you show up? Did you complete these? What didn't you do? What do you need help with? Where do you want some additional context around that idea? And to ensure that, yeah, they're seeing progress, because we all love to see progress, right? I'm sure when you started your podcast, first couple of ones, pretty nervous, hardly any viewers, and then you build up your confidence and you see the progress. And that progress allows you to go, this is working. I want more of this. So, yeah, it's an ongoing process.
Yeah. When I first started, I wanted to get 1,000 downloads in like 6 months. And within the first month when I got that, I was like, okay, I'm onto something. That progress was good enough for me to keep moving forward. Ronan, how do you get up, dress up, and show up? What's your morning routine like?
So 5 years ago, I had no routines whatsoever. When I say that, I mean business ones. I'd wake up and I'd go into work whenever I kind of felt like, very, very poor. Now I've completely changed that. I implemented something called the Rockefeller Dot System, which is all about tracking your habits. It's a very simple form, and I can share that with the audience if you've got show notes. I meditate. I get up at 10:06 in the morning. I meditate straight away, and I've meditated every single day for close to 5 years now. Then I go to the gym. Then I write my top three things for the day, And then I sit down with my coffee. And once I've done that, I'm kind of ready to tackle the day. I have about another 7 or 8 things that I track throughout the day that I'm doing. One of them is using the Pomodoro technique. Another one is to ensure that I am getting some kind of education, even if it's just 25 minutes of listening to a podcast or an audio book, reading a book, writing some thought leadership stuff that I do called Pink Sheets. Stretching in the night, gratitude journal at the end of the night, journaling at the end of the day. How was my day? What do I reflect on that? So that is the vast majority of my routine.
Wow, that is robust. That is fantastic. 5 years of daily meditation. Good for you. How has you seen the change over the years with your focusness, concentration?
Yeah, all of those things have improved. If nothing else, I'm just a happier person. I'm, you know, far few things bother me, far less stress, far less attachment to outcomes. And I'm just a more calmer person. Obviously, the other benefits are a bit more mindfulness and aware of my surroundings and a bit more intuitive around people. I probably haven't had some of the huge kind of breakthroughs that other people have through meditating, but I'm pretty happy with that. And it's all about taking care of yourself. Before you can help others, you've got to take care of yourself. So for some people, it sounds a bit selfish that I get up and the first two things I do are about me, is meditation and the exercise. But I know the rest of my day flows so much better. I know I've got more energy because I've exercised. And I know I'm more able to focus my attention and help other people and do the things I want to do once I've taken care of myself first.
You are not being selfish. This is the point of this podcast. This is what I'm trying to teach, what I'm teaching the audience. And every entrepreneur that has come on has a very similar routine as you, because as you said, you're helpless to others if you are not healthy or if you're not taking care of yourself, because it's crucial that you exercise, you stretch, you meditate, you know your focus, you know what you're working on, you know what your goals are, and even gratitude. Like, it's a great way to bring more things to be grateful for in life, you know?
Yeah. And what I did was I layered one on top of the other. So I read James Clear, his book on Atomic Habits, late last year. And I was like, yeah, I know that. I've been doing that. So I was giving myself a bit of a pat on the back. But this doesn't happen overnight. You build up the first one, which was meditation. Then I went, let me try and exercise in the morning, because I used to exercise in the evenings. And then I was always looking for an excuse. I had a pretty crappy day, or something happened, or I didn't achieve what I wanted to. And the first thing you do is go, oh, let's just sit in front of the TV, or let's just not exercise. It's too late now. I'm hungry. Let's put dinner on. So you just build up one habit after another, and each layer them on top of each other. So it sounds quite impressive, but it's really just focusing on one after the other.
Yeah, and you're being candid, because it does take time. I started this 2 years ago and I'm still working at it, but I have 9 actionable items that I do in the morning. And when I'm in a rush, I can do these 9 items in a minute. And I have an app that I'm developing just simply for that, because I've condensed all that I've heard from entrepreneurs like you and all the other phenomenal guests that has come on the show. And there are 9 consistent things that they each do. And for you, just to name yours, the gratitude journal, that's part of the app, the meditation, affirmation, visualization, exercising, and I'm consuming content that stimulates the mind. All that is very helpful. And over weeks, you start to see the difference. Like, you don't get stressed as much. You're better managing stress. You have more energy throughout the day, because how else are you expected to work 12-15 hour days if you don't exercise in the morning?
Exactly. Yeah. And it's just, as I said, it's just a combination of all of those things. And it sounds overwhelming at the start, but a 10,000 mile journey starts with one step, and it's consistency. And, you know, anybody out there listening, is that it's business really is about, I was just talking about this on the last podcast, and the host was saying the same thing, is that business is about being consistent. So it's not thinking that you're suddenly going to build this funnel and put some Facebook ads and suddenly get hundreds of customers. It's doing the basics day in, day out, And then you'll find that within a couple of years, you've built up the resourcefulness, the skills, the habits, the network of people, the deeper understanding of your business and what's working for you and what doesn't, and just getting better and better at it. And look, it's probably not what everyone wants to hear, right? They want to hear what's the secret, what's the magic formula. The only magic formula is a four-letter word called WORK, which is work, and being mm-hmm. and being self-aware enough around you to go, actually, I don't know it all, and I need some help, and also, you know, I'm probably not playing at the level I want to. So how do I get there? How do I get there in those? How do I level up? You know, and level up is a great phrase you use, because you're not looking to make this quantum leap. Very few people do. You might read one in 100,000 businesses that, you know, suddenly exploded. But for everyone else, it's the next level. It's the next level, and working towards that rather than thinking that you're suddenly going to go from one level to five levels up overnight.
You hit it right on the nail. It's consistency, being consistent in your business, being consistent with the habits and disciplines that it takes for you to be successful. And the habit tracker is a big one. And that's why the app is coming out to help individuals track what they do and get accolades for it and get a pat on the back for doing a great job and continue to do it, you know?
That'll be awesome. Yeah, just for people to stay on track and just make sure. Because we all make these promises in our head, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. And no one's there to hold us accountable. So something along the lines of that, just says, am I showing up to the level that I've kind of made this promise to myself? Because one of the things I know about promises, we're great at commitments to our family, our friends, and our clients, but we're actually pretty poor at making and keeping the commitments to ourselves. They're the easiest ones we find to break. Oh yeah, no, I'm going to lose a couple of pounds, or I'm going to do this, or I'm going to exercise 4 days a week, and then they're the ones that we break the easiest.
Yep, I agree. How do we connect with you, Ronan?
The best place to find me is on LinkedIn. If anybody's in B2B, that's the place to be. If you're a small business owner, very hard to be really good across multiple platforms. So I am Ronan Leonard on LinkedIn. Connect with me, engage with my content if you like it, ask me questions. That's the best place to find me on social media.
Yes, thank you for sharing. Morning enthusiasts, a lot of nuggets from Ronan today about masterminds, the key to masterminds and how to join them. Quick takeaway is simple ways to join a mastermind is to, number one, know what you want to achieve and then find a mastermind around that, whether it be goal setting, whether it be accountability or looking from other like-minded people. You got to know what you want. You got to have a definite purpose, and you got to know, you don't have to worry about the how, but if you do know what you want, you'll get there. And number two is clarity on what you know, and mastermind will help in that direction as well. And then number three, ask better questions. Be smart about it. As Ronan mentioned, it's not about content. The information is out there, Google, you name it, but it's the context behind it. It's how you can apply it. It's not just applicable, but how can you implement it? How can it serves you immediately? Ronan, anything you want to add?
No, I think that about sums it up. Thank you, Lunid.
Thank you for your time. I appreciate you coming on the show.
Thanks for having me. Great insight, and good luck with the app. I think it's very much needed.
Thank you.
Well, all right, morning enthusiasts, that's it for today's show. Thank you for tuning in. If you love the Best Morning Routine Ever podcast, we'd love to hear from you. So go ahead and subscribe, rate, and give a review on iTunes or Google Play. While you're at it, tell a friend about the show. Be sure to visit bestmorningroutineever.com and our Facebook group to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover our fantastic free bonus content. Until next time.
Some people might say coffee doesn't need chocolate, but you're not some people. You're a dreamer. You see the possibilities of chocolate and caramel flavors swirling together with cold brew, topped with velvety chocolate cold foam and cocoa caramel crumbles. That imagination can only be rewarded with Dunkin's new caramel chocolate cold brew. It's a cold brew dream come true. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer. Terms apply.